Let's begin our service this morning by singing from hymn number 166, verses 1 and 6. 166, verses 1 and 6. Good morning. Truly, how lovely is the morning when with God it has its start. The psalmist said, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp, and the psaltery." Welcome, everyone, into God's house this morning. Welcome to those on Zoom. So thankful we can gather together and sit at the feet of our precious Lord and Savior for learning today and in His Word. Do we have any greetings to share? Cheryl, thank you.
We spoke to Johnny and Mary Lou, and they send their greetings.
Thank you. Johnny and Mary Lou Zoig send greetings. Thank you. All right. Then with no other greetings, are there any updates on medical issues we've been praying for? Anything anyone would like to share there?
Well, I would like to say that Chris's aunt passed away yesterday. Okay. That's her mother's sister.
Mother's sister.
She was 92.
Right. And what was her first name again? Olga? Yes. Okay. Well, let's keep the family, and especially Sister Chris and Brother Frank, in our prayers at this time. Thank you for sharing that. Are there any prayer requests from this past week that anyone has? We'll have a prayer service this afternoon after lunch, so we'll have opportunity for more prayer requests at that time. Also, after our cleanup, the men would like to have a meeting over in Classroom 3 regarding men's cooking. So all with the proper chromosome combinations or whatever, meet over there across the hall. Midweek Bible study, Wednesday evening, 8 p.m., and via Zoom. And we're still in Acts 21, finishing that up, Acts 21. And next Sunday is our collection for the food bank, so please remember to bring your items for donation for the food bank next Sunday. Now, you'll notice that our dining room needs a little bit of organization help. We really can't say alles in Ordnung. No, that doesn't work. Alles nicht in Ordnung, right? So if you see anything there that is yours, please take it home, or it's likely to be pitched. Any other instructions for this room as we hope clean it up?
If you see any items that you know will never be used, just let us know.
Yeah, if you know what anything is there and you know that, oh, that'll never be used, please say so as well. Take it home with you, yeah, if you can use something. Okay. Okay. Let's see. We received a letter. Sister Elsa received a letter from New Hope thanking us for the donation that we gave them. And we have a newsletter from Upward Bound Youth that Brother Harry received. It's 2023 year in review, so it's quite lengthy. I'll put it out on the table, and I think you'd like to read that. So we'll have it available for you. And, I wanted to mention Nepomuceno. As you know, that's our quarterly mission focus this quarter. So any donations that you'd like to make this quarter would be gladly received for Nepo Boys Home. And we just received also the ACCF Mission Project Requests and Committee Needs. And I put a few of these out in the table in the foyer, so please feel free to take one if you want to read that over as well. But the first item is Nepo. And they have some smaller projects and some larger projects. For example, they'd like to hire a part-time technology teacher for their computer lab. The arts and crafts workshop needs are noted there, as well as transportation. They're looking to, they've begun raising funds for a new vehicle for the mission. So again, feel free to take that with you if you'd like to read that at home. And then, also on the table is the Elder Council report from last fall. Sorry for the delay in getting that, but it's out. Copies are out on the foyer table, so take one home with you. Dates to remember and to mark on your calendar. Brothers meeting, Lord willing, on March 3rd. Our business meeting on March 17th. And communion, Lord willing, on March 24th, and a members meeting on May 5th. So those are upcoming dates. I'll have those in the weekly email update, so in case you didn't have a chance to write those down quickly, those will be in the email for you. I don't think I forgot anything, or did I? Anything else? Availability sheets are due today, yeah, and put those, if you have those with you, put those in the office on the table.
I have a few
are missing. Okay, so we need those today. Okay, anything else? All right, let's join our hearts in singing hymn number 68. And please remember Brother Harry in your prayer, who will bring us God's word.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to see people in church this morning, even though some people are ill and not able to come. Let's bow to pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. You have promised to be with us where two or three are gathered in your name, and that's why we are here. We're not gathered here because of our names. We're gathered here because of your name, because of who you are. We're gathered here to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. It's because of his death and resurrection that we are gathered here. And we're gathered here to have the Holy Spirit speak unto all of us through your word. May we all listen to your word. May we all allow your Spirit to live within us, to guide us, to direct us, to show us how to live. We pray for comfort for those who are in mourning now, or just for not feeling well, or whatever, that you would just come alongside of them and help as you have promised to do. We thank you again for your presence, Lord Jesus, and pray this in your holy name. Amen. So we'll continue in the series on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, starting at the second half of verse 9. And I think we all know it maybe by now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We looked at examples of forgiveness, both in the Bible and in our current day. And this past week, Cheryl and I were discussing forgiveness, and then we remembered another event that happened in most of our lifetimes. Who recalls what happened on October 2nd, 2006, almost 17 and a half years ago? If you told me the date, I wouldn't have remembered.
I was thinking at the time when those Amish girls were shot. Is that it?
That's it, yep. On that beautiful Monday morning, after dropping his three children off at their school, a well-liked local man went to the West Nickel Mine Amish School near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He brought in guns, and he went there with evil intentions. He allowed the adults and all the boys in the school to leave. He took 10 girls, aged 6 to 13, hostage. It's going to be hard for me to get through all this. Within a few minutes, because the adults left, the 911 call went out and the police arrived. They ordered the man to surrender. He told the police to go away or I'll start shooting. And he actually shot through the door at the police. They obviously didn't go away. Within 30 minutes, the man shot all 10 girls execution style and then killed himself. 5 girls died. 2 were 7. 1 was 9. 1 was 12. And the oldest was 13. 2 were sisters. They both died in their mother's arms in different hospitals 3 hours apart. One in Delaware, and after that daughter died, she rushed to the other hospital in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and that daughter died in her mother's arms. One girl has survived with serious brain injuries. The other 4 needed many surgeries, and they but they've survived and they thrive. But the most important part is what happened next. That same day, an Amish grandfather of one of the girls killed went to the home of the killer's parents and comforted the killer's father and extended love and forgiveness. Amish women reached out to the killer's wife to comfort her and her children, bringing food because they needed things and extended love and forgiveness. A few days later, the girls were all buried that died, and a few days later was the killer's funeral. Many Amish showed up at that funeral to show love and support for the family. The whole world was amazed by the love, grace, and forgiveness the Amish shared with the killer's family. The Amish chose to forgive, doing as Jesus commanded and as Jesus gave his example when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That does not mean that it was all pie in the sky and they lived happily ever after. One Amish boy that left that schoolhouse before any shots were fired suffered many years with survivor's guilt. "If only I could have done something to save these girls." It has taken many years of counseling for him to forgive himself. Over $4 million was raised to help the families. Their medical expenses, because the Amish do not carry medical insurance. And they even gave funds to the killer's widow and her children, because her husband and their father was gone. A book was written called Amish Grace, How Forgiveness Transcended Tragedy. I have not been able to read that book because every time I read part of it, I break down and I can't keep reading it. But one person said, "Amish Grace tells the story of forgiveness informed by deep faith, rooted in rich history, and practiced in real life. In an American society that often resorts to revenge, it is a powerful example of the better way taught by Jesus." May we all experience and extend the grace and forgiveness that our Amish brothers and sisters did back then and still do today. So that's really a closing thing on that. Father, on the forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? "Dear Lord, so far today, I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, mean, or selfish. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit card. But I'll be getting out of bed soon, so that I think I will really need your help." Verse 13a, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." What does "lead us not into temptation" mean? Now, the Greek word for temptation and tempt have two meanings. One is to try or test by proving or evaluating someone. The second one is to cause or entice someone to sin. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, says, "My brethren, Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We can tell the meaning of the word tempt or temptation when we look at the context of the verse. So here in James, we see that the focus is on spiritual trials. As we face trials, we grow stronger in our faith, which leads to patience, which then leads to spiritual maturity. James goes on in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." When we endure our earthly trials, we have the promise of an abundant life in heaven. That's fantastic. Then James, in verse 13, goes on and says, and he talks about the temptation to sin here, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." James emphatically states that God never wants anyone to sin and never tries to make anyone sin. 1 Peter 5, 8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Satan looks for any opportunity to find my weak spot, your weak spot, whatever entices us, to bring us down, to cause us to sin. Peter says the devil is our adversary. He is not our friend. He seeks to devour us, not to kill us, but to make us ineffective, to basically ruin our witness, to give the church of Jesus Christ a bad name. There are many churches that have turned from Jesus' mission to preach John 3:16. Instead, they tell their members to be good citizens, live your truth, accept anyone's lifestyle. Peter tells us to be spiritually vigilant, watching for the devil's attack. We need to resist him by being firm in our faith. Not firm in ourselves, not firm in our family, not firm in our church, firm in our faith. As Paul says in Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil has many schemes to try to break us, to see where we are weak. But thankfully, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." What a promise. The challenge for you and for me is to recognize that way of escape when we are tempted. Does God ever lead us into temptation to sin? Based on what we read in James, the answer is no. But let's look at some scriptural examples. What about Job? Did God lead Job into temptation? No. But God allowed Satan to torment Job. And the scriptures tell us that in all this, Job sinned not. He lost everything in a matter of minutes. In all things, Job sinned not. And then Job's life got even more miserable. And what did Job's wife tell him? Why are you doing this? Curse God and die. But Job could not, would not, and did not do that. Satan found an opportunity to tempt Job. He did not succumb. He trusted God even when nothing made sense. What about King Saul? He was tested many times and failed. These temptations revealed his character of selfishness, jealousy, anger. He did not repent and lost his kingdom. What about King David? We just studied him recently in Bible class. David was tempted by the sight of Bathsheba and committed both adultery and murder. But when he understood what he had done, he repented and asked God for forgiveness for his sins. And Psalm 51 is a prayer of contrition that reveals a man humbled by God. We see these three examples from the Old Testament that show a relationship with God is critical in the ability to resist temptation and then to repent when there was failure. Job was able to resist. Saul failed and did not repent. David failed but repented. What about Jesus? Matthew 4:1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Jesus was led by the Spirit into that wilderness. And when he was there, the devil tempted him. God did not tempt Jesus to sin. The devil took the opportunity when it presented itself to tempt Jesus. Pure conjecture. I wonder if there was a similar conversation between Satan and God when Jesus was going into that wilderness Satan got talked before Job was tempted. I hadn't thought about it till I thought of this, reading this again today, that could there have been this conversation? You say this is your son? Is he really a strong spiritual being? I just wonder. Satan will look for any opportunity to torment us and to tempt us. After church, we're all going home. The devil will be there tempting us. Some of us will go to work tomorrow. The devil will be there tempting us. Next week, Cheryl and I will be in North Carolina. Mark and Becky will be in Delaware. The devil will be there tempting us. Wherever we go, the devil is there tempting us to sin. So, lead us not into temptation is a petition to God that whenever and wherever possible to allow us to avoid the devil's temptations. We'd rather not face them if we can at all. It's a plea for God to protect us in every hour of every day as we face what Satan puts before us. And he puts circumstances like that throughout the day. May we be so covered by the armor of God that the fiery darts of the wicked are quenched. I don't think we would ever say the opposite. Father, please send the devil many times that I will show how I can resist him. That would be prideful. And that is clearly not the wrong attitude at all. We want to be humble and ask for as few temptations as possible. Lead us not into temptation. Prevent us from experiencing temptation if at all possible. But it's all in your hands. And then the second part, deliver us from evil. It's a plea that God, that when we are faced with the devil's temptations, we need his deliverance. That word deliverance means rescue. We need to be rescued by the Father because we can't rescue ourselves. We need spiritual eyes to see that escape that 1 Corinthians 10:13 wrote about, what Paul wrote there. Where am I vulnerable? Where are you vulnerable? If you have a problem with alcohol, you shouldn't drink it, and you should avoid places where alcohol is being served so that you're not tempted with alcohol. I remember I had a coworker we went out to lunch once after he retired. A few of us went out, and some of them ordered alcohol, and he didn't. And he basically told us he was an alcoholic. I had never known. I had worked with him for 20 years. I had no idea. But he was a recovering alcoholic, and he knew that he couldn't touch it. Otherwise, he didn't know what would happen. So the idea is avoid things that we're susceptible to. If we have a problem with anger, we need to find out what triggers that anger and avoid it so that we're not tempted. Whatever hot button the devil can use to make you react in a sinful way is in an area that we need to avoid. But there are certain things we can't avoid. Yeah, we can avoid alcohol. That's an easy one. But I necessarily can't avoid everything. So over time, we need to pray and ask God to help us overcome these temptations, to grow in strength that when we're faced with a temptation, that we not allow it to truly tempt us. There were some people at work that, for lack of a better word, irritated me. Either they came across as, I'm the best, don't you dare question what I think, or they were just plain, simply arrogant. And I knew that I couldn't deal with that on my own strength. And I tell you the truth, I avoided them whenever I could, but there are some times I couldn't avoid them, and then I needed to pray and say, Father, give me the strength not to react to whatever this person is saying or doing, so that I would not react inappropriately and as a result give a poor witness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some translations say, deliver us from the evil one, meaning the devil. I think that translation is correct also. You know, deliver us from evil in general, or deliver us from the evil one. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let us not be out there saying, here I am, come get me. May we allow the Holy Spirit to live within us, to seek his escape when a temptation comes, so that we can glorify our Father in heaven. We need to avoid all evil and the evil one too. Let's close by singing from the Apostolic Christian Hymnal, number 115, verses 1 through 4. 115, 1 through 4.
Thank you.
We thank the Lord and also Brother Mike, Brother Harry for dividing God's word unto us today. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans has a benediction at the very end of the book in chapter 16 that fits beautifully to the sermon that was preached today. Verse 20 says this, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Amen." And that is our prayer for each one of us today. The realization that Christ is the victor, that God will bruise Satan under our feet, and we have the victory in him. I'd like to ask a brother to close in prayer. Brother Peter, could I ask you to do that for us? And also to pray for the lunch. Thanks,
brother. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day given to us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for bringing us in thy house to hear your word. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you have done for us. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are not here. Heavenly Father, I pray in your name. Amen.